Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. If you're visiting with us today, we are glad to have you with us. We hope we make you feel at home. We hope above everything that the Lord's Holy Spirit makes you feel welcome in this place. And we're excited to be here this morning. Thank you, choir, for the songs and congregation. I got a book up here with me. This is a Hightower cookbook, okay? I told Mitzi I was going to make one more pitch for this book. I know they said something about the church history book for $10. Well, this cookbook is also worth $10. So if you buy two and you pay cash, you can have them both for $19.99. I mean, that's a deal, right? Listen, you men, does your wife ever buy clothes? And if it's $59.99, she got it for $50, right? You know, I mean, that's I've let the cat out of the bag, haven't I, women? Some of you are sitting there thinking your husband didn't know that. He knows it. He's just nice. Okay. These ladies are going to play for us. I'm going to ask everyone, if you would, please stand. Take a moment of time. Shake hands with someone seated there around you, if you would, please. Okay, I want to invite you, if you have a Bible with you. If you don't, there's one right there in front of you in the pew rack to read along with us, if you'd like. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Pretty familiar story in the Bible. It's another one of those classical stories, really, where there's very little dialogue. You remember, if you remember last Sunday's sermon, I talked about the lady and how nothing was ever expressed with words. There's very little dialogue that actually takes place in this story, but it says a lot. And now I want to share with you the thought that I want you to keep with you today. And this is going to seem a little odd, a little peculiar maybe, but it's coming up Thanksgiving time. Next couple of Sundays, we're going to look at things we ought to be thankful for and how you and I should express our thanks. And we realize, I hope we realize as Christian people, that Thanksgiving is not just a one-time-a-year event, that we should always be thankful. We should be thankful every day, really. But we do focus on it when it gets around the season and the holiday of Thanksgiving. We begin to think more about it. So, it's okay if you forget the cranberry sauce, just don't forget to be thankful. Okay? Now, stay with that. Because, you know, it's that time of year. Thanksgiving's really become a holiday that's really squeezed in there. Halloween, then Thanksgiving, then Christmas. Get out all the turkeys and the cornucopias and the pilgrim hats and, you know, hurry through Thanksgiving so we can get on to Christmas, right? That's kind of the mindset of people a lot of times, but really we should stop and reflect on what it is to really be thankful for in our lives, the blessings that God blesses us with, the health that God gives us for salvation, for just so many things that God has done for you and I that we should really be thankful for. And like I said, Thanksgiving is always something that we should always express to God. Every time we pray, really, we should always offer a prayer of thanksgiving for all that He has done for us. I'm debating on whether I want to start reading this or tell you a story first. I think I'm going to tell you my story, okay? This is a true story because this is a story that happened in my family. Several years ago, it's been 10, 12 years ago. It might have even been longer. It's Thanksgiving Eve, and my mother calls me, and she says, Ronnie, she said, we're out of cranberry sauce. Can you get some and make sure we have it up here for supper, Thanksgiving? Sure. Well, we don't have no cranberry sauce at the house. So I leave and go to the store. I think I went to the Kroger at Bethelview, Greens Corner. Went to it, and after looking around forever, couldn't find the cranberry sauce nowhere. Finally found this young lady and asked her where it was at. And she said, oh, it's on the end cap. You know, and I guess I should have realized that right there at Thanksgiving. You know, that's a hot item. So it's on the end cap. So anyway, I get the cranberry sauce. We go up to my mom and dad's. Mother opens the cranberry sauce. And then we get ready to eat, and the cranberry sauce is nowhere to be found. I mean, you know, was there a cranberry sauce fairy that come in the house and got it? I mean, we found the can that Mama opened and emptied it out, you know, but could not find. And my dad, you know, I love him, but it was, "Shirley, where's the cranberry sauce?" You know, that kind of thing, you know. I mean, that's just my dad, okay? No cranberry sauce there. Cannot be found. Empty can. Well, you know how it is at Thanksgiving. If you got a pretty good-sized family and you got food just set out everywhere, right? Well, Mom had been getting something out of the oven or something. She didn't have a place to set it down. And so Mama opened up the microwave, not to cook the cranberry sauce or to warm it up or anything, just to set it up there out of the way. And thought surely she would remember that she put the cranberry sauce in the microwave. So to make a long story short, when we get through eating without any cranberry sauce, somebody went to warm up their dessert. And lo and behold, we found the cranberry sauce. But it was a little bit late for it. But my moral or my point to that story is, you know what? We still had Thanksgiving. It didn't matter about the cranberry sauce. We still had Thanksgiving. And that's what I want you and I to understand today. Sometimes in life, we find ourselves looking at things that really don't matter, and we fail or we forget to give thanks for the things that are important in our lives. And this is a story about a man, only one out of 10, that gave thanks for what the Lord had done. So listen to this story as we begin in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17, verse number 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into this village, he was met with 10 men that were lepers. And they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. How much of our celebration will really have to do with giving thanks? And that's what this lesson or this story from the Bible really tells you and I is about, giving thanks and being thankful. Now I want us to look and think about what's transpiring and what's happening, because you'll see how it, you know, you look at old stories like this and you think, well, you know, preacher, leprosy, you know, ain't a whole lot of people dealing with leprosy in our congregation today, I don't imagine. But you're dealing with something, and every one of us, you know, every one of us has a common bond. And there was a common bond with those 10 men that were lepers. And all of us have a common bond that's here today. And if I were to ask you what the common bond that all of us have today, I know what most of you would say. Most of you would say, well, we're Christians. Well, you're sort of close. But really the common bond that every single one of us has is that we're all sinners. That is the common bond that every single one of us has. You may be a saved sinner, but you're still a sinner. And that is the bond, the common bond that every single one of us has. You see, because these lepers had formed a bond themselves. Why? Why do you think this? And first of all, we know, now I don't know what the rest of the 10 were, but we do know for sure that one of them was a Samaritan. There is probably a good chance that those others that was there with this man, they were probably Jewish. But yet because of the disease that they had. These men all had a common bond. And listen today, in the world that you and I live in, we may separate ourselves in so many ways, but yet there is a common bond that will always run through humanity. And that common bond is that all of humanity is sinners. That is a common bond that you and I, that we all have. So Jesus has entered into this area, this certain village, it tells us, and these 10 men which were lepers, they stood afar off. Why were they standing a long ways off? Well, they were required to by law, by the Levitical law. If you turn over into the Leviticus, let me just read this to you. In the 13th chapter, verse 45. Now, there's this whole chapter, and actually for a couple of chapters, actually deals with this disease of leprosy and what all they had to go through with and what took place. But this will give you just a general understanding. This is what it says. It says, the leper whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. That means his clothes has got to be torn, that he wears torn clothes. His head's going to be bare. And he's supposed to put a covering over his face. And then there was also something else that they had to do. Whenever anybody was approaching them, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine what it was like for those guys when every time somebody is approaching, their response was supposed to always be to stand there and cry out, unclean. Unclean. Wouldn't that be a terrible place to be in life that you had to do that? But that was what they was required of these men. So when these men see that Jesus is coming along, now there's something that they do here. They break all rules of engagement because they did not cry out what was should have been cried out. They did not cry out unclean, unclean, but rather they cried something totally different, something that they knew only that this man Jesus could help them with. Verse 13, they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Those were the first words that was spoken. Listen, Jesus knew those men were unclean. You don't hide your sin from Jesus. Do you realize that? None of us. None of us in here today. You cannot hide. You may hide it from me. You may hide it from your mom, dad, spouse, whoever. You may hide it from them, but you will never hide from the Lord. These men didn't try to hide it. Didn't they cried out and they began to cry out to him, Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on us. Listen today, the common thing that all of us has is the sinful nature about us. And then the other common thing about all of us today is all of humanity needs the mercy of God. And that's what these guys knew that they needed above anything. And they knew here was a man that could offer them hope and help in their life. What about, I would challenge you today. Do you realize in your own life? No, it's not leprosy. But it was a disease that separated people. Sin always separates. Sin always separates you from God. And that's what had happened in this. These men, they were separated. They, because of custom of that day, they had to live outside of the city. Why were they formed in that band like they were? And the other thing about it was, you know what? The Jews didn't care that this man that was with him was a Samaritan. The Samaritan didn't care that those that was with him was Jewish, because they all had something in common. And that was that disease. And they had formed this band. It was the only way they could survive. They couldn't just go into the city and go into the market and buy food. Most of the time, somebody that was leper was relied primarily on either the, just the goodness of someone, or perhaps family would bring out food and give to them. And these men that were lepers would share that food with one another because they were all in the same predicament. They all had the same problem. Nobody began to separate this bunch and that bunch. They did not group themselves off because they were all the same. That's why I say today that there's one thing that all of mankind has a common factor, and that's we're all sinners. We're all sinners that are in need of a Savior. That was a common bond for you and I. The common bond for them was they were lepers. The only hope that those lepers had was a desperate plea to Christ. The only hope that people has in the world today is a desperate plea to Christ. So they do this. With a loud voice, they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Just have mercy on us." And then Jesus does something. And I want to tell you something that perhaps might even relieve some of his mind in life. All through my ministry, I've had people that come to me and say, "Preacher, you know what? I know I'm saved, but sometimes I have doubts because I worry about, did I say the right thing or whatever?" That's legitimate. I'm okay with that when somebody says something like that. But do you know, it's like I told you last Sunday, the woman never spoke a word. And right here, these men just make one request. It's not the dialogue that you have with the Lord, but it's rather the condition of your heart. It's not all the words that you can speak, but it is truly what it comes from the heart. These men had no long dialogue. They had no long conversation. They just knew what they needed and asked for that. And that's the same thing that's true with people today that needs Christ in their life. Cry out. Cry out. That's all that these men did, was cry out. And then the Lord does something here. He tells them, now you could go on and you could go back to the book of Leviticus and you could read it, and you know that in order for someone to be declared cleansed or healed or free of leprosy, it required that the priest look at them and examine them, and the priest then would declare them either clean or unclean, either free of the disease or still diseased. So Jesus tells these men to go show themselves to the priest. Well, can you imagine what they're thinking? These men, here they are with this terrible skin disease that can leave you with all kinds of sores and really mess with your joints. And just, it's a terrible, horrible disease, all the things that it can do to you, all the abnormalities that it can cause and how it could cause you to look. And here these guys are, and the Lord says to him, says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And they're still lepers. The leprosy is still on them when Jesus makes this statement, because the leprosy did not leave until they followed the command of the Lord. When you read the story, the leprosy, when Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest," it did not just fall off of them immediately. It did not happen until they became obedient to the directions that the Lord gave them. Verse 14, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Not immediately when Jesus spoke those words, but as they went, they were cleansed. There's always a connection, I think, in the Bible that shows between faith and action. These men trusted enough in what the Lord said that when they got there, they didn't know how it was going to happen. They didn't know how this would take place. They just knew that the Lord said, go show yourself to the priest, and they make their way toward the priest to go show themselves. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, now listen to this. This is what I said. This is why I said what I said about being thankful and showing our thanks in life. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. With a loud voice glorified God. You know, sometimes it's okay to just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for your goodness. But sometimes you just need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your goodness. With a loud voice. No, God is not hard of hearing. Absolutely not. But it is the way that we express ourselves sometimes. In other words, I'm saying, most of the time, when you get loud, usually, I mean, I do. I get loud when I'm excited. Y'all didn't know that, did you? That's just the truth. When somebody gets excited about something, when they're glad about something, when something good, your tone will raise. And so it was just a natural response for this leper to realize that he has been cleansed of this horrible disease, and he cries out with a loud voice, thanking and praising the Lord. With a loud voice, glorified God, ran and fell down at his feet, the Bible says, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Well, you understand that story there, and we won't go deep into that or anything, but this was the guy that really was the outcast, probably, of the group. This was the guy that probably you wouldn't have really thought about being the one come back and gave any thanks. You would have thought, surely it would have been one of those good Jewish men that would have come back and giving thanks. After all, shouldn't they have been the ones that had a greater understanding than anybody of who the Savior of the world was? Wouldn't they the ones that should have really understood truly who Christ was? But it was the Samaritan, the outcast, the outsider, that comes back and says, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. See, only 1 out of 10 gave thanks. I would not want to do this at all. But as Christian people, I really wouldn't want to know this, I guess is the way I want to say it. How many of us really gives thanks? Would it be 1 in 10? Would it be that low of a number? Would it be that? Would you be one of the 9, or would you be the one that really gave thanks? I hope that and pray that you and I would understand that. And the reason I said this, you know, it's not the cranberry sauce and things like that. It's giving thanks to the God for give thanks to Him for first and foremost for your salvation, that you're a child of God, that you've been saved by the grace of God. Give Him thanks for that. And then thank Him for your family. Thank Him for your children. Thank Him for your church family. You ain't got nothing else? Thank Him for your pastor, maybe. Because I thank God for every one of you. I really do. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be needed. So I thank God for you. I thank God for this country, even in spite of all the problems and everything that we see going on in it. Still thankful for it. Throughout the Thanksgiving season and throughout life, don't forget to be thankful. God bless you is my prayer. Ronnie, would you get us a song, please? We'll ask everyone, if you would, please stand. We'll sing a hymn of invitation this morning. If you are here and you have never made a commitment to Christ in your life, if you've never trusted Him as Savior, we're going to give you that opportunity. If you're here and would like to unite with our church, we're going to give you this opportunity. The Lord has saved you, and you want to share that experience. If you want to come under the watch care or have a letter with you, we invite you while we sing this verse of song. Okay, I'm gonna let you be seated just for a moment. I know we'll stand back up in a minute, but I got the sweetest little phone call this morning. And Annabeth, you want to just share with them what you told me?
I was saved last night because I thought I couldn't go to sleep because I thought about if something happened, I want to be with my family. So I told my mom, we told my dad, and then we prayed, and I got saved.
Amen. Isn't that sweet? Yeah, amen. Yeah, that is, and that's special. The church can be baptized, right?
I make a move to be received to candidate
baptism.
Second. Okay, have a move in a second. She be received to candidate baptism. All in favor of this move in a second, let it be known by raising your hand. Any opposed, like sign. Eyes have it, motions carried. Please stand back up. Come around and give her the right hand of Christian fellowship.